go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We're off and running for this 18th day of January 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us online. That's the easiest way to get the stream, although there are many, many other ways to get it. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa, loud and clear on one stream from the front porch. Huh? Everything's sending and going here. White Rose Society is timing out. Well, of course it is. While the Horn will not be on the air in a mere 2 days, we'll celebrate the second anniversary of that fateful day when heliocentrism finally revealed itself to the masses and the rubes started to worship the single most orange object in all of existence. Happy second Trumpiversary, brethren and sistren. Oh, I had somehow or another managed to blot that from my consciousness, but, well, I don't know, like a recurring bout of malaria. Brother Deacon Asa makes sure that it sneaks back into our collective awareness. Thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch here. We are done with the second full week of January now, as of this evening, Friday on the front porch. Quick program note, this will be a shortened version of Friday on the front porch because, well, it turns out that today is the one and only indomitable, incomparable Kathy Malloy's birthday. So a big happy birthday to Kathy. And they're probably going to go out and celebrate this evening. And so consequently, at 9 o'clock, I will put the flint to the steel and fire up the campfire over in Malloy land. So I'll have to shut things down here around 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we've got about 2 hours in which to engage in conversation. We'll get the front porch started pretty quickly. But, of course, we have to begin the program with thanks. And thanks go out this evening to Stephen. Thank you very kindly, Stephen, for being a partial sponsor of the program. Another partial sponsor of the program is Grace. Thank you, Grace. And thanks as well to Charlene. Between them, those are our subscribers for the 18th day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber, and gosh, we'd love to have you be one, run on over to HeadOn.live and click on the PayPal button there. A $10 a month subscriber. Well, you know the drill. Most of you do, unless you're new to the program. A $10 a month subscriber is down for all of not quite 16 cents per hour of programming. That's what it takes to keep things going here. If we could ever have 400 $10 a month subscribers. So thank you. If you care to join in. And thanks to everybody who keeps the program going, the rest of the program, the other 75% of the, thank you, throughout the course of the weeks, days and weeks and months and years and, yes, more now than one decade. Thank you so very, very much indeed. So where are we this evening fundraising-wise? Well, after Earther jumped in and gave us a nice, funny little number to deal with this evening, Earther likes to do that. We have $568 to finish the week, and it's one of those situations where we kind of need to make our numbers so that we can have a more and Monday on Monday, lest the things that make this program go stop, you know, going. So that's where it all stands. And if you want to help out, well, again, the button is over at the PayPal button is over at headon.live. Headon.live. There's also a chat room button. If you click on that, pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the, well, you'll be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Sailor Chick and Squeaky and Terry in Saigon and Warrior Witch, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, even though he is a Space and Guild Master, let's say Sparky is holding back his powers and not folding space to become Man Cave this evening. You will also be capably moderated by midweek pinch-hit utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Jump right in. The conversation is fine. So we've got plenty of time to cuss and discuss this evening. If you want to jump into the Friday on the Front Porch extraordinary ordinary roundtable conversation, then all you have to do is fire up Skype. And once you're there, send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, one word, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail and shine the bob signal off the clouds so you can see the trail, the otherwise hidden trail that leads to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather and at whose head as moderator Sparky sits. Okay, so jump right in. Of course, there's a phone line for people who can't seem to manage or negotiate Skype, and that, of course, that number is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. If you don't need us to do the toll-free thing, then just dial direct 304-640-2829, 304-640-2829. Yeah, Randy, I know. I'm sorry to hear it, too. The horn streams are down, and got no idea why. So, oopsie. I mean, you'll have that. Here, let me see if maybe this might even make a difference. And no, because that'll screw up the recording. We're just going to have to deal with it as it is. And hey, there's Otto DeShot wandering into the chat room, yep. And if you're wondering why is there a difference between the White Rose, because they're completely different servers. And I can be sitting here sending and showing no problems whatsoever, and then I find out that the server's timing out at White Rose. So I have absolutely no idea why that's happening. But yeah. There it is, and there you have it. What else? Let's go ahead and get Friday on the Front Porch started, because, again, we've only got a couple of hours this evening. Hey, Sparky.
Hello from inside the house, where I've been forced to use a new Skype.
Oh, no. Is it driving you mad?
Well, kind of, since I hit the call button. I don't think I can do any moderating anymore.
Oh, they've taken away your lightsaber?
Yeah.
Damn it. Maybe we shouldn't have said that out loud.
Well, I won't be able to lightsaber people that won't mute now. That's the only thing.
And there's no way to do that manually?
Not that I've found yet. I just downloaded it a couple hours ago because I opened my Skype and it won't even take me back to the old Skype anymore. You got to upgrade.
Oh, I know, and it jumps around like a Jack Russell Terrier on acid and just annoys the yeah.
So anyway, there's that. But there's one thing I did find.
Yes.
Instead of using the bat signal, I'm using a link.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't have a chance to investigate, but now there's some sort of a link you can put out to invite people into the conversation.
Exactly. I posted it on the Horn Facebook page.
Cool. Excellent.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, good deal. Good deal. That sounds good. So
I just think anybody can add people too now.
Ah. And not screw up who has, well, I remember back in the days when somebody would have a crown. Somebody is still the ultimate holder of the scepter or whatever, as far as creating a, right. And that's you.
I hope so.
Oh, and you'll be tickled to know after jotting it down in as phonetically best as I could, when I walked into the little Thai restaurant nearby here the other day, because, she makes, lob mo on Wednesdays and, Tom Yum soup on Thursdays. And those are big because they're just delicious. I remembered the hello phrase you taught me, and I used it, and she smiled like sunshine. Made me feel nice.
That's why they call Thailand the land of smiles.
She is a delightful person, and an absolute, oh my God, what a cook. Oh, can she cook. I mean, handmade spring rolls, and she makes her own, you know, the duck sauce you find in little plastic packets in Chinese restaurants and stuff. None of that for her. She makes it fresh from scratch, and that means her sweet and sour fried catfish is to die for. Oh, it's good. It's real good. But I said, I said, sawadee kap, and she just smiled from ear to ear. And I'm sure I just butchered it, but I made the attempt.
No, you didn't butcher it. That's as good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
But you get a smile on any Thai when you do that to them. It's just, that's why they call it the land of smiles.
I'll be darned. I have to thank you for that, because you made a day better. And you know, any chance we have to make a day better is a good day.
Yeah, well, my day yesterday, I went on a run to Reading again with my Vietnam vet friend. He had to go to the VA clinic there. And then we made another trip up to Queen of Dragons. So I got some new flavors.
Oh, yeah? Anything worth bragging about?
One called Hero Wana.
That sounds interesting.
That's what I just tried before you caught the call a little while ago.
So are you, you're using like a dry vape, right? Or are you
I got a little grinder.
Mm-hmm.
I put the bud in there and I grind it. And then I put the grindings down in a chamber and put the mouthpiece on it and then turn it on. It heats up the.
Yeah, it kind of superheats it, right?
Yeah. Well, I set it at 392 degrees.
Someday civilization will come to West Virginia, but
Lottie turned me on to these things.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, he lives in civilization too, because they got legal in Massachusetts now. Yeah, rub it in, Sparky. Yeah. Meanwhile, we're still in the dark ages in West Virginia, going, man, you got any of that old Mexican ditch weed? Yep. No, it's not quite that bad, but it's bad enough.
Okay, I should have bought you a bag of the devil's lettuce yesterday.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, it's small little buds from the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you about a half ounce of it. You know, it's not the good big buds, but it's the smaller buds.
Does it get you where you need to go?
I would assume it does.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not all lost in the aesthetics here. I was never one of those guys that took the centerfold out of High Times and, you know, tacked it on the wall or anything.
But anyway, that's what the guy told me. Because it was, you could look over the railing there in his place, and there were some people working packaging, trimming buds and weighing it. Had the blue gloves on and everything, and they were just going to town.
like little busy little bonsai gardeners, tiny scissors. Yeah,
they weren't young guys. They were older people, like your age. not old like me, but they were.
Well, you're not exactly old, for God's sakes.
They looked like they were in their 50s.
Well, that's probably a good age for doing it because, you know, you've settled down a little bit and you're not just going to be transfixed by the sight of all that buddage.
Yeah, but they may be the owners of the place. I don't know.
So, what was that one flavor that kind of intrigued me? Banana something or what?
Oh, they don't have that on the board up there.
Doggone it.
They got all kinds of other things, but I bought stuff that was on sale. So I got some more Hippie Crippler. I like that. And then I got some more San Fernando Bud OG or whatever it's called. That's pretty good. And then I picked up some of this Hirawana.
I'm sitting here answering emails explaining that the White Rose Society stream is down.
Well, I punch my internet radio first thing and it gives me a 404, 401 or 404 message, whatever it is.
Well, damn. Let me see if I can... send a message to Ben real quick. Well, hey, Steve's with us, isn't he?
Hey, Bob, what's going on, brother?
How you doing, my friend?
Oh, man, recovering from the day from hell.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, got a sick wife. My brother's working me to death. I mean, I just can't catch a break, you know? But who am I to complain? At least I'm working, you know?
Yeah, look, you're above the ground, okay? Every day above the ground is a good one.
That's it, man. And you are a good egg, my friend. You really are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So I really think that as bad as we don't want it to happen, it looks like they're going to have to start some kind of impeachment proceedings after what broke last night.
Well, I was going to mention that because obviously that's the news of the day.
Yeah. And, I don't see how they can avoid it, you know.
But here's because my weird little paranoid little mind is always busy, 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 busy. Does it look a little odd now? I mean, I'm not giving free rein to my paranoia, but this just strikes me as odd. You watched the Barr hearings, right?
Yes, sir. I listen to all that. I'm a nerd, you know, when it comes to that. I got C-SPAN blaring in the background all the time, you know.
So, do you remember when they were asking him about his long, stupid memo?
Yes.
And do you remember how they asked him about whether or not the president could violate the law?
Yes, and he kind of hemmed and hawed and stuttered around that.
But here's the thing. What they got into, Steve, was a particular passage in the memo that said, if a president knowingly destroys or alters evidence, suborns perjury, or induces a witness to change testimony, ... then he, like anyone else, commits the crime of obstruction. And it wasn't just one senator. There were multiple senators who made inquiry down that line, and he didn't run away from it. Now, here's where a little bit of low-grade paranoia kicks in on my... It's not really paranoia. It's just curiosity. That's all it is.
I understand, and then I'll give you my take on it.
Given the degree to which they focused on that language, I'm tempted to wonder if maybe somebody had whispered in a senator's ear that they might want to ask those questions. Because the one thing we have to remember out of this... And it was a bombshell, okay? I mean, this is huge. This is like the newspaper day after the John Dean hearings with Watergate.
It's Watergate redux, man. I mean, the exact scenarios, the exact charges, they're resurfacing, the exact three.
But the thing is, it was a bombshell to us, but Robert Mueller has been quietly sitting on this information for God alone knows how long. I mean, you follow? This was somebody leaking to BuzzFeed News. And by the way, before you confuse BuzzFeed News with BuzzFeed, you know, BuzzFeed's the website where you can watch people tasting icky food and making faces, or watch real Italian grandmas eat food from Olive Garden. It's all funny as hell. BuzzFeed is different from BuzzFeed News. BuzzFeed News has something like 8 Pulitzer nominations in the last couple of years alone. They're doing real work. And so they've developed sources, and somebody told them what's going on here. And looking back at Barr after the news story last night, I couldn't help thinking, Steve, that somebody somewhere said something to somebody that made sure that Barr went on the record under oath describing subornation of perjury as being guilty of obstruction of justice.
And wasn't that Amy Klobuchar that was cornering him like that?
She was one of them.
Yes. They played it on MSNBC last night.
Yeah, I heard it in real time.
Yeah, she pinned Barr to the wax like some sort of a butterfly in a collection. And so, I mean, that just can't. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm not saying it was skullduggery or anything. But when you are as deeply mired in criminal dysfunction as this regime is, sometimes you gotta go around a couple of corners to get to where it is you want to be. And lo and behold, here we are. And now the ranking member of the Senate, not ranking member, I'm sorry, Patrick Leahy, is going to drill down a little further on Barr now that this particular cat is out of this particular bag.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Rick, what's going on, brother?
Hey, I had to unplug my webcam and plug it back in, and that took care of it. The microphone wasn't working. So.
Nice. Let me give you my quick take on Barr, then, Rick. You can have it, man. I think Barr is going to do what's best for Barr. And don't be surprised if he rolls on Trump, if the evidence is just overwhelming. If he can figure out a way to cover this up, he will. But if it's just overwhelming, he's going to do what's best for him. That's my take on him after studying him and looking at his body language and all this. So,
well, you know, he comes across as a guy that has a lot of gravitas and so forth. And, you know, but let's not forget his role in the Christmas Eve pardon of Casper Weinberger.
Oh, yeah.
December 24th, 1994. And
trading hostages
four other
for
people
arms.
Who were,
and, oh, that shit.
You know,
yep.
And in convincing H.W. Bush to pardon Weinberger and five others involved in the Iran-Contra. And the pardons effectively ended the Walsh, the independent prosecutor's investigation. So. You know, I'm not so high on Barr as some.
Well, I'm not high at all. I'm just saying he's going to do what's best for him.
Yeah.
That's
well, he's taking the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, he's clearly an opportunist because, you know, he represented. I think he was on the other side of the was it the AT&T T-Mobile merger?
Yes.
The Justice Department
challenged. He was questioned about that as well.
What did he say about that? I didn't catch that part of it.
Yeah, Bob, do you mean the Sprint T-Mobile merger?
Oh, yes. Sprint. I mean, okay.
Yeah, you mean the merger where the T-Mobile CEO, the minute the thing was announced, suddenly scheduled a stay for a bunch of hoity-toity T-Mobile executives at the Trump International Hotel in D.C. That guy.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah, because that kind of stuck out like a sore thumb.
So was Barr asked about that? If he advised them to like patronize the Trump Hotel or anything like that?
No, I think that's just how people understand you do business with a Trump.
Right.
He was asked about the merger, but I had a client on the phone and Bob, do you remember the answer?
I don't. I don't. I wish I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it may have been Booker that nailed him down on that. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. You know.
I mean, I think what we have going for us with Barr is that at least we know he's not going to fire Mueller.
No.
You know, because they're buddies, they're social friends. Mueller has attended his kids' weddings.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Mueller and Mrs. Barr won't get to go to the church together anymore if that happens. I mean,
right.
That would be good. But the larger, there's a grander strategy at work here. And I think where Barr comes in handy is after the shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the same kind of dirty work that he did for Bush,
right.
Making shit disappear.
Right.
And there's one, this is just sort of to the side of all of this, but I just want to offer, because, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. So, in the 1920s, the Republicans brought us the Teapot Dome scandal.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first really, I mean, post the Grant administration, that was the first full flowering of Republican graft and filth and corruption. That showed us where their just sinful beating heart was. And then things settled down a little bit until you get to Nixon. And you get Watergate, and you get rid of Nixon, and everybody goes, yay, we won, we're saved. And in less than a decade, son of a bitch, they're doing it again. Only Ronnie Reagan, by virtue of having a rapidly degenerating brain, could say things like, well, I don't recall if I have a recollection that I don't remember, Mommy. And he got away with it. And then you get a Republican administration in George H.W. Bush that Barr helps to bury the bodies before they can start telling tales on H.W. so he could go on to have a hero's funeral later.
Right.
And not a decade later, boom, here comes W with an illegal war against people who have never done anything to him. And all the graft and corruption around Enron, all the graft and corruption around Halliburton and Kellogg burn and loot, and all the filth that Cheney was involved in, you get an 8-year breather with Obama, and boom, we're back. And out of saying all of this, I just want to remind us that each one of these, I mean, I'm of the opinion that what Reagan did with Iran-Contra was worse than what Nixon did with Watergate.
I think it hurt a lot more people. Just look at all the drug abuse that's resulted in South LA, for example.
Well, look at all the dead people in Central America.
The dead people in Central America, yeah.
Or exactly. The 200 dead Marines in Beirut.
Right.
And so my only offer here, or proffer, more properly put, is that whatever comes of this, there is out there in the future, and he or she is probably walking among us even now, out there in the future, there is a dirtier, filthier, more corrupt, more egregiously criminal Republican thinking about how much fun he or she could have if only they could get into the White House.
That's why we have to make this situation Trump-proof going forward. I don't know how. I don't have the answer. But legislatively, we have to make it Trump-proof. This cannot happen again.
Well, I think there maybe should be a law passed saying that a sitting president can be prosecuted. Although then again, that could be overturned by the Supreme Court, you know, with
Bart and the boys.
Kavanaugh, I like beer. Brett, I like beer. Kavanaugh and, you know, Neil, the boy of whatever.
Oh, Ann's boy, Neil.
Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's the thing. I think what we need to do is you can't mention
Brett Kavanaugh without mentioning PJ and Squee.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. Right, right. I mean, what we're going to have to do here is, if the Democrats can take over in 2020 with, you know, basically vast majority, you know, as in the presidency and, you know, majorities in the Senate and in the House, is we need to add like at least two or three Supreme Court seats is what we need to do.
My thinking was, yeah, you need the House, you need the Senate, you need the president. Right. No, that, because that becomes too easy. 13, Rick, 13.
Okay.
And that means you're adding four seats, right, plus whoever, you know, and probably at that point in time, if you've got a Democrat House, Democrat Senate, and a Democratic president, the ones presently on the court will retire.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have eight, and I'm serious about this, appoint 40-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Eight people on the court,
right,
and who are 40 years old or so, who are going to make sure that the Republicans can't fuck us for at least a generation or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I want to fire up the Wayback Machine to last night for just a minute. I just had a note from our buddy Mike in Cascadia, who was mowing grass in the freezing 45 degrees northwest Washington state temperatures yesterday evening.
Oh.
We know Barr pardoned, this is what he wrote last night, we know Barr pardoned H.W. Pappy Bush. Could this be a Trump trap? Barr published his screed against Mueller to get Trump's attention. So that gets Barr the AG position. Barr, though, a Bush loyalist, huh? Lets Mueller do his work? If so, this would be the ultimate shiv to Trump by the Bushes. 3D chess indeed.
Absolutely. So talk, you know, about the hawk, you know.
Yeah, so little cowbell going, little cowbell going out to Mike in Cascadia for...
Never even thought of that.
Now
that's some deep thinking, that's for sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, that ain't no 3D chess. That's some 11D-dimensional chess right there is what that
there
is.
Go. Right.
And it's also a reminder of something Mike Malloy has said for decades. Do not fuck with the Bush family because they are a criminal enterprise.
They will kill you.
And they will kill your ass dead.
And
then
more,
piss on your corpse
than
and
Trump
shit
is
in your dead mouth. Yeah. Yeah,
there's a lot more subtlety with the Bushies than there is with the Trumpanzees, you know?
Yeah. So. Oh, by the way, Mike got us started. You know, we're kind of in a spot finishing the week and a very short period of time to get there. Mike got us started with $25 this evening. So that takes us down. Oh, dear, the numbers. So that 8 minus 5 is 3. That's 60. No. Yeah, 63. So we're at 543. $543 to go. And to finish the week. And I got one big ass bill to pay here at the as soon as I'm off air, so that we can make sure that we've got a program next week.
All right, Bob, I'm gonna start it here.
Okay, Rick.
Challenge is this gonna be here? I guess this will be the pool postmortem.
Oh no! Wait! Postmortem?
Yeah, we both lost. Both my teams lost.
Oh damn it!
I know. That's okay. Nah, we'll make it more positive here. We'll call this the, impeach and remove the motherfucker, okay? Impeachment ain't enough, okay? The impeach and remove the motherfucker challenge. And I'll throw in, let's say 30. I'll double it to 60 if somebody matches the 30, okay?
Okay, so 30 on the 30 there, needing 30 matched. With 30 to go. Is there any kind of a time limit on this?
I don't know. Just let me know. It can carry over if you need it to.
No, I mean, do you want it in the next 10 minutes, next 15 minutes, or by the top of the hour? You know.
Oh, you could wait till over the weekend if need be.
Let's go for top of the hour.
Okay.
Well, Rick, okay. I really think that the House will be obligated to impeach, but I don't see the Senate ever picking it up. And on that note,
let me try to connect you, okay?
Okay. On that note, can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, I got you, Steve.
All right, man. I'm going to match Rich's, not match it, but come close to matching my good friend's challenge, and I'm going to throw in $20. So keep this challenge $10 short.
Okay, so let's see.
I would match it dollar for dollar. God damn, I got killed with medical pills last
year. Oh, no, please, don't. The rivers are formed up. Rivers are formed of drops of rain.
Yep, okay? Absolutely.
So let's see. Let's do them. Okay, so we got it. It's 543 minus, so that's 513. And if somebody kicks another 10, that'll take us down to 483. Rick kicks the other, and that gets us to 453. And so we're making progress, I think, if I'm ciphering good. But to go back to the issue of him, I'm right there with you, Steve. I don't know if Ted Lieu and a couple of others were saying something similar, that if this proves to be true, that there's no way around it, and the House is going to have to do its job. But I'm still standing on, and this is based on the real world, I'm still standing pat on what I've said about the Senate. I don't think Mitch McConnell will even allow a bill of impeachment to be heard, let alone tried, inside the Senate of the United States.
He has the option of not even picking it up, doesn't he?
No, yeah. No, he doesn't have that option.
Oh, okay. I got a yes and a no. I'm confused.
No, the House shall and the Senate shall. But shall doesn't mean a goddamn thing to Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell is a force unto himself who is utterly unaccountable, because there's nobody in Kentucky that's going to take his position away from him, and he knows it. Because he owns Kentucky politics. He's a boss tweed of Kentucky politics. He's the dictator of Kentucky. Everybody else serves at his sufferance.
Is he like a Huey Long in that respect?
I liked Huey Long. There's a lot to like about Huey Long. So I don't even want to compare those two. No, I prefer to think of him more as a,
How about Richard Daley?
No, he's more like a Sulla. Or a Richard J. Daley. Okay, yeah, that works. That's why I mentioned Boss Tweed. He's got his own, and he is undefeatable in Kentucky.
Great.
And I was reminded of this last night because Tim Kaine, and I talked about this on air, Tim Kaine tried to bring up a government funding bill. And he asked unanimous consent for it. And you know what Mitch McConnell said? Object.
American people will not care if your president is signing. There's no need to put it in a port of American people.
Take that shit out of your mouth, dude. Come on.
That's what he sounds like, that son of a bitch, man.
Quit teabagging Trump, Mitch.
No sense in you picking it up. The American people. President won't sign it. American people. That's all I ever hear.
Only one way to make a law. That's if the president signs the bill. Liar.
See, the thing about Mitch, Bob, is he's up to his neck in this shit because he's a major beneficiary of the
National Ruble Association.
Absolutely. That's why he tables everything.
Yeah.
I'll say what I said with Todd last night. I mean, let's walk through this real slow, like. The GRU hacked the DNC and the RNC servers.
Right.
They then released the DNC emails in order to harm Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept the good stuff. And that was the RNC's emails, and that means that they have a shit ton of leverage over all kinds of Republicans in the Congress, and maybe out of the Congress.
Lindsey Graham is another guy who's heavily compromised.
Lindsey Graham, by the way, who during the shutdown is over shaking hands with and grinning with the dictator of Turkey, Erdogan. And did you see the photo? Grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush.
No.
Oh, he just looks like he's so tickled to pieces to be standing there in the noble, majestic, serene, high, gracious presence of the dictator of Turkey. Oh, my goodness gracious.
If you listen side by side what Lindsey had to comment about Clinton's indiscretion compared to what Trump's indiscretions, which they don't even compare, man. You're talking a Hummer against, you know, all this bullshit that's blowing up. It will demonstrate to everybody the hypocrisy that's in politics. It's sickening, man. It's stomach turning, and it's sickening.
Well, it is. It is. The Republicans really do well with corruption. They love it. They love these dictators. You know, they always have. It's, because they wish they could run America.
And that's why I say there's going to be another one. Because every time we think we've got them licked. Another one.
No, exactly. The problem is you get a buffoon like Trump in there, and if you get a real Hitler in there, like let's say two or three terms from now, you know, set
right.
match again, you know, what game set match? Forget about it.
By the way, whoever had 6:41 p.m. in the Hitler pool this evening, you win.
Oh, we started that again.
We had to this evening for one particular reason, and I'm gonna jump over and sort of change topics real quick. Like, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they're having their March for Life in Washington D.C., and one of the invitees is of course this neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of Ben Shapiro.
Oh, God.
And remember, the people who are marching for life in Washington, D.C. right now, these are people who, for instance, haven't uttered a peep about we just kind of blew right past that revelation, too. Turns out there were thousands more kidnapped children put in concentration camps than the Trump regime was willing to admit.
Thousands more. Mm-hmm. Wrap your head around
thousands. That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kidnapped in concentration camps. Wait, what's it? Oh, okay. Bob, quit telling us who to teabag. That's for Irish Dave. Okay, we've had our Bob stop telling us.
Bob, quit telling us. I've ever heard, Bob.
Yeah. By the way, Rick, your challenge has been met.
Awesome.
Our buddy Don. In West Tennistan, finished off joining up with Steve.
Thanks, Don.
And where did I say that took us? Let's see. Let me just do 573.
At least 90
of us. 458. 458 is where we are. Then Hung Like Jesus took us down to 438. And... Charlene just took us down to 423, a member of the sorority of Leans, and an anonymous contributor just took us down to 408.
Oh, I was going to say 420. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, we kind of blew past.
Wishful thinking.
We kind of blew past 420. It happens.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Sparky.
Good news. I found the lightsaber.
Oh, good. Where'd they hide it?
Well, I don't know if I'm the only one that can see it or not.
Well, I'm just glad to know it's there.
It's your room.
But I muted Tim, and I found a mute button, too.
Oh.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff tucked away in the old hollow tree tonight.
Hey, so
I don't know if I screwed him up or what.
Hey,
I had trouble adding him to the call, him and Irwin.
Sparky, I wanted to let you guys know that there was another Skype group that was calling me, and Tracy was in it, and I think, I don't know, Irwin might have been in it, and another one or two people were in it. I think I added them. I think Tim, I added Tim as well.
Well, Tracy's in here, but Sarah, yeah. I can see he was muted now too.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I think you can add anybody. I think I can add people. You can add people. I mean, it could be a real free for all. But I should probably let you know that.
I can click on somebody and kill them too.
Oh well, we don't want that. No.
Not unless they piss you off, right, Duncan?
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe Brain is in the room. Maybe we could kill him or something.
I just wanted to. I don't know if anybody else can see it.
Brain.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Otto is back. Yes.
This chat room is so cool. I have not had to kick anybody since Brain. You know,
Yeah, but you got to admit, kicking Brain was a lot of fun.
It was.
Who was that, a troll?
It was a guy who couldn't spell his name, Brian.
He spelled it great.
But he wasn't really named. But he wasn't really named. Yeah.
He was humorous, though. He really was.
He was in the old chat room, the old horn chat that I was.
It's fun to punk people out with the right wing voice. I do it once in a while when I'm talking to people. But I got a voice that I think would be really a big hit on Bob's show. It's like a Bob Gucci. Yeah, man, I'm a right winger and I hate people, but I love pussy. You know, that's the way it is.
Oh dear God! Okay,
now you just go on like that all the time.
That's very close to my Alex Jones voice.
Yeah, there you go. It's Alex Jones. He sounds like he's ready to take a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Guccione is only halfway there, I guess.
Oh yeah, well I know.
Alex Jones is the full on shit.
Yeah, full on. Alex is nuts though. That guy is totally insane.
So let me just roll back real quick to Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby at Ben Shapiro at the March for Life. They do this every year. Busloads of evil of good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist amosexual fetus fetishists show up in Washington D.C. when it's freezing cold. To march for life. I've been there when it happened, and I mean, you want to talk about some real walking, talking, living pool noodles. I mean, Jesus Christ, these are, yeah. So Ben Shapiro, what? Living pool noodles? I mean,
Cowbell for yourself, Bob.
Oh well, thank you, Rick. Okay. That just happened. But anyway, Ben Shapiro's talking, and then this happens. Get the hockey puck, okay? I mean, I don't know how this became the standard, but it is.
The argument, I guess, here is that would you kill baby Hitler? And the truth is that no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler, right? Because baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby.
So now... Yeah. Wait... Was that Tracy?
Like a robot.
Was that Tracy?
That was Tracy.
Yep. Yes, it was.
Is that Tracy?
Okay, what the entire fuck?
Well, no, I mean, I heard so this conversation about baby Hitler immediately explodes on social media, and me, I'm so simple that I'm just sitting here at home looking at Agnes going, baby Hitler, doot 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 doot, baby Hitler, doot 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 doot.
Springtime for baby Hitler.
No, you couldn't kill baby Hitler because baby Hitler is baby. Only adult Hitler was.
Does baby Hitler grow up to be? Yes, you schmuck. It's like seriously. So, in his thinking, because I'm trying to wrap my head around that rationale. So you know, a pro-lifer is like, well, I'm not going to kill Hitler because baby Hitler because you know he's a baby. But then again. He still comes out to become Hitler. So,
well, give him a chance.
Out,
I mean, it's either nurture versus nature. Give him a chance. Tracy.
I'm getting the vacuum cleaner and the coat hanger ready. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, when it comes to Hitler, I'd blame the father. His father is really hard on him, and Hitler.
Yeah, Alois was an asshole.
Yeah, he's a total asshole. Yeah.
But I don't think Mother Hitler was much better.
Oh, she's a co-enabler.
Mother Hitler, doot 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 doot. Mommy Hitler, doot 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 doot. Daddy Hitler, doot 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 doot.
He had mother issues, though. Dude really did.
Stop it. But Ben Shapiro sounds like a chipmunk if you listen to him.
Yeah, what is that voice?
A speed freak.
Is he an adult?
Gilliam head, yeah.
Yeah, he's an adult, but he was on Bill Maher, and he sounds like a robot.
What kind of robot is that?
Well, I mean, we can finish the clip if we absolutely must. Hang on.
Yeah.
What you presumably want to do with Baby Hitler is take Baby...
Oh, wait. Okay, so, yeah, stand by. Here we go. Let's just get it all.
Right. The argument, I guess, here is that would you kill Baby Hitler? And the truth is that no pro-life person on Earth would kill Baby Hitler, right? Because Baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby. Right. What you presumably want to do with Baby Hitler was take Baby Hitler out of Baby Hitler's house and move Baby Hitler into a better house where he would not grow up to be Hitler, right? That's the idea.
It's the cheering art of the crowd that makes it art. We're saving Baby Hitler. We're pro-life.
He sounds like Cartman. You know, they take Cartman's voice and he does it, and then they speed it up. That's what he sounds like, man. Jesus.
Well, I mean, how is this not a script point out of the fucking Squidbillies?
Adopt Baby Hitler now, people. Come on, get him out of that home. Adopt him. Oh, jeez.
Sherman, set the Wayback Machine for Mrs. Hitler's obstetrician.
But I'm with Tracy. If you knew for certainty it was going to spawn into a Hitler, yeah, gotta go, man.
But see, this thing kind of has a history, because I for years, you know, I've gotten all the weirdo emails every day. I can't tell you the number. And so they do things like, what was it? They pass around these pro-life emails about his daddy had syphilis and his mama had affairs and she had this baby and she knew that she'd had a baby with a man who cheated on her and what if she would have aborted that baby? Well, that baby was Winston Churchill. You know, as if every baby is Winston Churchill. And, you know, back when I used to fight with right-wingers, I'd come back at him and say, well, you know, she was a perfectly normal lady, and she was in a perfectly normal relationship and a perfectly normal marriage with a hard-working guy, and you wouldn't want to abort that baby, would you? And for all I know, this is just the things I whisper into the universe that come reverberating back 10, 15 years later. Well, no, I wouldn't. Well, that baby was Hitler.
Well, you know, another angle, Bob, is that these right-to-lifers say, well, what if the baby that you're aborting, you know, is going to, you know, cure cancer? You know, how do you
that
know
baby that baby might have cured cancer? Yeah, oh, I'm well familiar.
The comeback is the Hitler baby. Aborting Hitler, you know.
Baby Hitler, doot-doot-doot-doot, baby I'm sorry, you know, once you've heard that damn song, it just gets stuck in your head.
It does, and I know you don't suffer fools anymore, Bob, but I do miss those days when you would take those right-wing tools and just stomp them into the fucking ground.
Life's too short, very, though.
Yeah, it is. And that's, I guess, is the pro-wrestling mentality that's coming out in me, or as Bob calls it, wrestling, you know?
Woo! Get the break a chair over his head. Kill him. You know, Scott's auntie sitting there with her two hams beer. Kill him.
But that was highly entertaining, Bob. It probably wasn't for you. It was probably misery, but for the listener, it was highly entertaining. You know.
No, I'd sit there with my little head in my hands, going, "Oh fuck
oh,
me,
God.
Fuck me to death." Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, it's not, but still, Jesus, you know, we'd put Hitler in a better home.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy.
Did I hear you yesterday? I was in and out, but did I hear you say that you, Jesse Lee Peterson, wound up on your Twitter feed yesterday or the other day?
Yes. Yesterday.
So what? Because I'm like, wait, what do you mean? What happened? How did that happen?
I'm just cruising along, minding my own business, and there's a tweet from Jesse Lee. You know, the picture showing, you know, lives with her partner. Lesbian! Married a single father. No, I know. I spent there. I've got a lot of WTAF moments in my life, Tracy. But it just makes me wonder how much the algorithms are, because I don't go look at. No, that's what it is. I made a mistake. The day that I sent you the Jesse Lee white people in space thing, I did it from my phone. Something. Oh Jesus.
Oh, that's what happened.
You sent Tracy a link on your phone about Jesse Lee. Okay.
And suddenly, you know, boom, he's in my Twitter feed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. That's
did you weird. Respond to him?
No.
Why not?
No, I just sit and laugh.
Or troll him? You could troll him.
Sharecropping in space, 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 no. space.
May I add, Miss Tracy, it's great to hear you back and in good form. It sounds like you're back to your old self again. I'm so glad you shook all that nonsense.
Well, here's the deal. I decided to go. I have a really good doctor, and I can usually just walk in, and I'm like, because I'm this cough I can't get rid of. So after I did my school run this morning, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take my ass to my doctor. The one day that I decided to finally go, he's not out. He wasn't at the office today. I'm like, this cough is.
It's just, still there. Okay.
It's still there.
Oh, damn it.
I'm functioning better. But the worst thing about this cough is when I do start coughing, I get dizzy. And I'm like, well, at least I know I'm beginning to feel like Camille, and then I'm going to die for the consumption, for God's sake. Right?
I'm sorry. Not laughing at, laughing with. I'm beginning to feel like Camille.
Consumption's no fun. It's a no-fun disease.
It's a no-fun disease, but it's just like I cannot fucking shake this cough. And I'm at that point where I'm going to probably go to urgent care tomorrow and have them do a chest x-ray to make sure that, I mean, because the good thing is whatever I'm coughing up is clear. It's, you know, I'm. It's
that's a win.
But you don't want to.
Yeah, are you running a fever?
No. I've been monitoring, you know, making sure I'm not running a fever and all that good stuff.
Tracy, I'm going to post the link. You need to look at this because this is what Karen is dealing with. Stand by a minute, okay?
Okay, sweetie. But it's just been a pain, you know, in my happy black ass. But I did have, because I've just been really over this cough. But I heard this morning something that I sent Bob that just made my day, made my week. I was listening to Sojourner Truth this morning on KPFK, and she played this speech that Reverend Dr. William Barber did to the United States for Palestinian Liberation, something is this organization. And
U.S. Committee for Palestinian Relief, I think.
Thank you. Something like that. And my God, that speech, and I had to send it to Bob because, and when Bob listened to him, he's like, oh my God, he referred to Jesus as the brown skinned Palestinian. And as soon as I heard that, I totally went online looking for the speech so I could send to Bob. This speech, oh my God. He called out Trump. He called out evangelical preachers. What did he say? He called it what did he call about malpractice? Oh my God,
theological malpractice. Yeah, it's a great. It is a great. It's a keynote speech. It's about 40 minutes long, and it's worth every minute.
It is worth, I mean, you sit there, because see, I didn't see the link that I sent Bob, I hadn't watched the speech. I just heard it this morning on the radio. So, of course, there's no video. But to watch, I watched it. And I was just sitting there going, and what I appreciated about it, and this is one of the things I appreciate about Reverend Barber, he gets it. I mean, even Bob, who is, I mean, we've all heard how he feels about Christianity, you know, the whole, the shysters and the charlatans that, you know, and that call themselves, you know, children of God. But to hear Reverend Barber, because he is pro-LGBTQ, I mean, and Yvette Flinders, the bishop that he was speaking about, I met her. She is the most amazing woman you would ever have the privilege of meeting. She was back, she could have went to jail back in the day in the heights of the AIDS crisis. She actually took care of gay men and was using experimental medications that were, you know, illegal and helping, you know, her story is amazing. And that part that he says, you know, we're all, you know, as a straight man, preachers, we always talk about affirming, you know, the LGBTQ community. He's like, well, what about them affirming us? I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. But I mean, who did he call out? He called out Falwell. Who else did he call out, Bob?
Oh God. I just remember the preachers I hear on that, you know, that's not the Jesus I know from the preachers I hear on the TV or something like that.
Right, right. I mean, he called out Falwell and a couple of other ones by name, saying that, you know, this anti, you know, you talk about this and you talk about that, but you don't mention what's happening in Palestine. Oh, when he was talking about how, you know, how they fetishize about, you know, about Israel, about the coming back of Christ. That's what he called theological. He said it was a lie, and theological malpractice. I'm like, oh, he's a bad brother. But remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but he was the brother that got, did they throw him off the plane? Because he's a big man. And whenever he travels, he has to buy two plane tickets because he has to take up two seats. And what happened, Bob? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, they bounced him.
Yeah, they bounced him off the plane. Because, was it the white guy that got...
And see, all of this happens before the latest revelations. See what I did there? Revelations?
Revelations.
About Jerry Falwell Jr. and Liberty University. Because remember the scam that Cohen was directed to run involved him hiring the IT chief for Jerry Falwell U.
What?
And paying him to dummy up two online polls in like 2015 to make it look like Donald Trump was more popular than he was. And one of them was a Drudge Report poll. And all of a sudden, the Drudge Report was like, "Fuck you, say." And they got downright uppity about Michael Cohen. And you know, meanwhile, Jerry Falwell was, you know, his organization is implicated in the filth and skullduggery that the Trump assholes engaged in order to somehow or another slither into the White House.
I mean, that's another thing he talked about he was, what did he say? And when you have 3 million people that voted for Hillary, the one candidate who should have won, what did he say? And this other person who was just appointed or whatever, he was not elected. This was, you know, I mean, he breaks it down about the racism.
Did he refer to him as the president of the Electoral College?
Yes, something like that.
And you know, he's not sitting there breathing fire and brimstone and you know, hacking and hawing, you know, like the shtick that I do on Wednesdays. He just quietly went about the business of taking these freaks apart like a Zen master takes apart a spider web.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we've got some breaking news courtesy of Ralph's. Subject line, Kirsten Nielsen. Senator Merkley is asking the FBI to investigate Kirsten Nielsen for perjury, according to Business Insider.
You heard about what was going on with her, right?
Well, I mean, the fact that she lied to Congress, you know, we do not have a child separation policy, and now we find out that there's multiple thousands of children that we didn't even know about in the first place.
And this went back into the memo that they're talking about. Went back to, I believe, 2017.
Yeah, right.
You know, that outlined what, you know, they actually had a program in place back in 2017 outlining what to do about these, you know, taking kids away from parents. These people are just lying pieces of shit.
And some of them are... And some of them, I hope, will wind up, you know, making very tiny rock gravel out of very large rocks.
That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, wouldn't it? And let's see, what's the day? Is it February 7th or February 8th that Cohen is scheduled to testify? So Donnie Dimwit decides to engage in some witness intimidating today on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yes. Well, I was listening to Tom Hartman this morning after we were going back and forth texting, and he talked about what's her name from Department of Homeland Security, and then he talked about, you know, he called Trump a mafioso, an oligarch Russian mafia boss or something like that. He's like, you know, threatening, basically he, you know, talked about with Cohen's father-in-law threatening him, you know, witness it, just a little witness intimidation for those of you who, you know, no big deal.
And it's all out in the open. That's the amazing thing, you know. You know, just like the lies about the you know, the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians in June of 2016, I think it was. It's like, I mean, come on, you know? Unbelievable.
Let's see where it is.
He said a president selected, not elected. That's what he said.
Yeah. Maybe it's been scrubbed. But an hour ago, he said, I will be making a major announcement concerning the humanitarian crisis on our southern border and the shutdown tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. live from the White House.
So, and how about the childlike retaliation he did to Nancy? Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, no. I understand what you're getting at, but there was more than childlike because he gave up her entire route and put her life at risk.
At risk, right. Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's like he's throwing a temper tantrum and he doesn't care who gets the fall, you know, takes the fallout in the process.
What's interesting as far, going back to the Michael Cohen thing, though, Steve, is that Donnie Deutsch was talking about it this morning, and, you know, he's buddies with Cohen. And I guess they talk on the phone still. And he said Cohen's thinking about not testifying now because he's afraid of the threats that Trump has put out. I mean...
Against his father-in-law, yeah.
A first-year kid just passed the bar exam could try the witness intimidation case against Donald Trump for all of this shit and walk away with convictions on every count.
It'd be a shame if something bad happened to your father-in-law. Basically, it's what he was saying, if you read between the lines.
Yeah.
You got a very nice father-in-law there. It'd be a shame if, you know, anything should befall him, like a piano falling on him or something like that.
Right, and the thing is, it's so bad that it's undeniable. And he doesn't, in this case, he doesn't even have the, The last time he tried witness intimidation on Twitter, his apologists said, "Well, no, he was just telling him to tell the truth." Well, in this case, that's not there. And according to Donnie Deutsch, he did it live on TV, and Cohen is fucking afraid. And this fits with Trump's personal vision of himself as made man capo wannabe, you know? He sees himself as a glamorous mobster. And he's trying to behave like it, not remembering that a lot of mobsters go to fucking prison.
Which you could circle back to Rudy Giuliani's interview the other night about how he moved the goalposts. You know, he was all lizard-eyed and looked just crazier than a hatter.
Ooh, those eyes, man, those eyes.
Yeah, Jesus. And no, I never said there was no collusion in the administration, just with the president. Bullshit. All you got to do is you can get sound bites from YouTube. And yeah, he said that the whole administration, there was no collusion. And now he said, no, I never said that. It was just the president.
You know how you know things have gotten bad? When Kellyanne Conway won't issue her standard denial. She showed up on Fox News Business today and was asked about the BuzzFeed news story.
I have one other thing I have to ask you about, because we had this big news yesterday, is the BuzzFeed report. It says Michael Cohen was personally instructed by President Trump to lie to Congress about that Trump Tower in Moscow. What's your response to that?
Well, the president weighed in on this on Twitter this morning, so I would refer you to that. And also, I'm very, very dismayed that the sourcing in this particular article are two law enforcement officials.
Aw, poor baby. She's dismayed about the sourcing.
Well, Bob, can I ask you a question?
What happened to it didn't happen, it's not true?
I think we need to pat the snowflakes on the butt, you know, poor babies, you know?
Yeah, well, hold on just a minute, Steve, because there's more of this.
Okay.
Because what's...
All right, yeah. I've got a burning question I'd like your input on.
All right, well, let's go to the burning question then.
No, you first, brother. Go ahead.
No, go, because one of us will forget, and we'll next thing you know, we'll be talking about Shiny Heine, and we'll be screwed.
Do you think Rudy was making noise kind of like the tree falling to distract everybody before the thing hit?
He is doing what his boss tells him to do. He's 1,000 years old. He's not worried about his law license. But now he's beginning to wonder if he should worry about prison.
He was making noise about the tree falling so you don't see the destruction in the forest. I'm almost certain that's what he was doing.
They know, okay? Every time you write an article like this, you have to reach out to the people you're writing about and say, do you have any comment?
Or at the minimum, soften the blow. It's old news. We've already heard this.
And so at the time that he was actually talking to Chris Cuomo, he knew this story was coming, and it was bugging him out. And so he was trying to put that bluster up there. Well, I never said there was no collusion by anybody.
Just against president.
Right, and there's only one crime this president could commit, you know, and that would be a conspiracy with the Russians to hack the election, and we all know that didn't happen. He knew the article was coming. You know, the other night we were talking about how the first time you watch The Big Lebowski, you don't get everything.
Right. It's one of those movies that you got. Any of the Coen movies.
And the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, things keep emerging. Well, it's like, I mean, the Giuliani thing 2 nights ago, now that we got the BuzzFeed story out, it's actually a different interview now. When you realize that he knew it was coming.
Hey, what about Ivanka's? her soft shoe back atlas. Pitlin.
Look, they are all trying to position themselves to make sure that they're not the one that goes under the bus. And if anybody knows, precious Ivanka does, that her daddy will put her under the bus in a New York second. And so consequently, I mean, this is a great little denial. I've got the quote right here, Tracy.
Oh, please do. Please read that, because it's awesome.
Ms. Trump, and by this proposal, what we're talking about here is the denial that she was involved in the Trump Tower Moscow negotiations, okay? Because that's part and parcel of all of this. Trump Tower Moscow is at the heart of all of this grift and graft and filth and corruption and skeevery and skullduggery. Ms. Trump, she's Ms. Trump now suddenly. She's not Mrs. Kushner. How about that? Ms. Trump did not know about this proposal until after a non-binding letter of intent had been signed. Never talked to anyone outside the organization about the proposal. That means she did talk to people inside the organization about the proposal. As in, Dadams, you're going to get us all sent to prison, Dadams. And I don't look good in orange, Dadams. And I don't like Alderson, West Virginia, Dadams. I don't like West Virginia at all. Never visited the projected project site and was only minimally involved. This is one of those moments where there's not an adverb in English that's going to help you, because what that says is she was. Okay, the line again is, was only minimally involved. Well, you can take out the only and the minimally, and you've got the truth. And yes, was Daddy. Involved.
Up to her neck.
Yeah, she's basically saying she's just a little bit pregnant. I mean, it's the same principle. You either are or you aren't.
So we are of the consensus that Rudy was trying to soften the blow then.
No, that Rudy was flipping out. I mean,
so there was more to it.
There's nothing.
That may have been a part of it. There was more to it than that.
The only softening taking place with that, Steve, was the stool softener that he took.
Oh, that's why his eyes were bugging.
Yeah, right.
It probably hit too quick.
But now that we're past the burning question, I want to go back, and now that we've talked about precious Ivanka's non-denial denial, only minimally involved. Oh, you mean involved? Well, yes. Again, I still find it interesting that she's referred to as Ms. Trump and not Mrs. Kushner. I mean, you know, they got an upstanding family values marriage and everything. So back to Kellyanne Conway, who was disturbed about the two law enforcement sources. Disturbed.
Who are connected to the investigation. That should send a chill down everybody's spine. People should not be leaking information from investigations. I don't see verification of this from where I sit.
Funny thing was, she wasn't asked if she was upset about the leaking.
And I think that other outlets that are running with this and putting on BuzzFeed should just be reminded about the unverified dossier and its origins as well.
Okay, let's do remind the other organizations about the unverified dossier, most of which everything except the actual fucking pee-pee tape has been verified. So thank you for reminding us, Kellyanne.
I will tell
and they
you
also did,
is
they
A,
also
the
did
president-
refute those.
I'm sorry.
Bob, I was going to say, they also never directly said that the stuff in the dossier is false. It took them a long time to get to that point.
Right. And the thing is, most of the stuff in the dossier turns out to be, well, you know, true.
Yeah.
And there are some truths about the fact that, you know, where the PPT tape happened, he actually did stay in the Ritz-Carlton. And people who know intelligence and domestic spying in Russia say, there is not a broom closet in the Ritz-Carlton Moscow that is not wired by the FSB.
Oh, it's totally honeycombed, you know, with surveillance devices. You bet it is, you know.
And so what happens is For instance, the presidential suite where Barack and Michelle stayed, you bring in your people and you sweep the room and you throw out all the bugs because you're president, right? Or you've got a security detail. That doesn't happen if you're a fucking beauty pageant promoter. So I'm sure the bugs were alive and well when Trump was in the room. And there are people who have far greater expertise than I who say, oh, yeah, Pootie's got the tape. but she's worried about the verified, unverified dossier. This whole clip is 3 minutes and 12 seconds long. We're into a minute and 40 of it. And I'm still waiting for what I'm sure you're still waiting for. Let's see if it happens.
Has weighed in on this on Twitter. And B, I'm very concerned that you've got law enforcement officials.
For those who didn't see the tweet, Kellyanne, what did he say?
Well, he actually quoted a colleague of yours at Fox, Kevin Quirk. And Kevin Quirk was characterizing Michael Cohen's past testimony and also talking about some problems that he's had testifying under oath. So I'm going to leave it at that because I come here every day to work on policy.
I mean,
and I'd be remiss
for
not saying...
We know he has lied under oath in the past and that Michael Cohen is heading toward prison. By the way, Democrats are demanding an investigation. We've got so many of them. I think you would agree it would be great once this Mueller investigation is all wrapped up.
Well, and we have said that. Let me say it one more time for you and your viewers, Charles. We have complied with the Mueller investigation. The president has called us a witch hunt and said many times there's been no collusion. He doesn't know anything about collusion.
The only problem is Rudy Giuliani the other night said there has been collusion. Keep going, Kellyanne.
He certainly didn't include. I will tell you, as the campaign manager and the winning part of the campaign, I didn't talk to people in Moscow. I talked to people in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, and Macomb County, Michigan. And this president won fairly and squarely. I am just amazed that the Democrats and a lot of their friends in the media are talking about the 2016 presidential election and the 2020 presidential election. What in the world have they done in 17, 18, and 19 to help this country? All they talk about are presidential elections, past and future.
Okay, not that we've got any prizes to give away or anything, but what did Kellyanne not do?
Answer the fucking question.
Deny.
Thank you, Billable Rick. She did not deny the BuzzFeed story. At all.
Which
remotely.
Did not give an honest answer to the question.
And by the way, as far as the witness tampering is concerned, yeah, I found the tweet. I blew past it. That's my bad earlier. This was at 10:02 a.m. today. Kevin Cork at Fox News. Don't forget, Michael Cohen has already been convicted of perjury and fraud. And as recently as this week, the Wall Street Journal has suggested that he may have stolen tens of thousands of dollars. Lying to reduce his jail time. Watch father-in-law. So, he's not just intimidating one witness, he's threatening a second person.
Mm-hmm.
Only, and here's the fun part, and you as a former prosecutor, and I've done the same, and I don't know where Steve in New York is this evening, but I think you can relate to this, Rick. Probably the most critical and most damning part of all of this, the BuzzFeed story, that is the simple fact that Robert Mueller got all of this information about the obstruction of justice and the lying and the directing Cohen to lie and the Trump Tower stuff independently of Michael Cohen.
Right.
And then he sat down and Michael Cohen said, oh, really? Yeah, I got the notes. I made recordings. So he could actually prosecute this case without Michael Cohen, and nobody ever has to know. Michael Cohen being a liar has nothing to do with it. And once again, Kellyanne can't deal with that either. But you see,
all they need, Bob, my understanding is I heard in the news reports there are internal company emails and text messages that basically corroborate the fact that Trump was coaching Cohen on, telling him to lie to the, to Congress. And, the thing is, the only witness you'd need to prove that would be I guess, the FBI agent who seized all that shit and say, yeah, we seized this at Michael Cohen's apartment or his office, and yeah, we kept the chain of custody and so
forth. Remember Trump's accountant?
Right, the accountant. Yes, the accountant could be used to show that those are authentic, to authenticate
the,
or,
yeah,
those,
the chief
those documents.
Financial officer guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so. See, the Kellyanne clip that we just listened to was interesting for another reason.
Her husband singing a totally different fucking tune, man. That has to be a strained marriage.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Kellyanne was downright subdued. You know, usually she's got her fangs and they're dripping with blood, and she, how dare you? But
maybe they're still trying to get her medications right, Bob.
No. Come on. Come on, Rick. Rick, buddy, you were a U.S. attorney.
No, I know.
He knows. He's poking at you, Bob.
Yeah.
But no, all of a sudden she's wondering, I wonder if I'm going to prison. I'm pretty sure my boss is.
Yeah.
Ivanka told me Alderson, West Virginia sucks. You know, that's where they sent Martha Stewart, and she made
those. I'm estranged my husband. What am I gonna do?
That's where they sent Martha Stewart, and she made those fucking ponchos.
She's got nice lips too, so.
Sure do got a pretty mouth. Welcome to West Virginia. Squeal like a pig. Squeal.
Speaking of lips, what the fuck happened to Laura Ingraham? My God, somebody needs to tell her.
Wait. Have we moved into the really, really catty portion of the program?
No, I don't want to go there. I'm just saying somebody needs to tell this woman, when you're going under plastic surgery, leave the lips alone, man. Something fucked up has happened to her.
What's wrong? Hey, Steve, what's wrong with being a grouper, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Her upper lip is gone, man. It's totally gone.
Yeah, the cheek implants are also not a good look either.
What happened to Laura Ingraham's upper lip?
Wait a minute, are we talking about another white woman that's fallen victim to collagen in the lips? Because, you know,
I think we are. Or the collagen that didn't work, Tracy.
Or the lip implant or whatever the hell it is.
You know,
think about when I was going to school, when I was, you know, in elementary school, in middle school, well, junior high, and how I got teased because my lips were so big and my butt was so big. And now white women are spending billions of dollars just to have my lips. I'm like, Jesus. And a lot of times, and it doesn't look right. It's the most, does anybody remember, any of you guys see the first Wives Club?
Goldie Hawn and?
Goldie Hawn with the lip goes in. And like she keeps saying, I want bigger and bigger and bigger. Then by the time she gets her lips, she looks like, you know, she has some kind of allergic reaction. It's just like, it's terrible. And it's so obvious. When they do the collagen in the lips, it's hard. It's just like, ew, God. Who want to, like, I like what you said. Oh, who said grouper? Was that you, Rick?
That was Rick, grouper.
Yeah.
Or pufferfish or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a real thing, Tracy. White women wanting to stay nice and white, well, okay, a healthy golden tan, and going for physical attributes that were routinely mocked and disparaged in the black community. And in the meantime, black people trying to make themselves white, bleaching themselves. I saw a joke. I think it was Sandra who posted it. The 10-year challenge 2009-2019. And 2009 was a picture of Sammy Sosa, and 2019 is just a blank white screen. But I get followed from time to time. I mean, my social media is not real big, but every now and then one of these people will pop up in my feed following me, and I'll go and look, and it's some, without fail, it's some white woman with pneumatically enhanced breastises, and an entire Sanford and Sons junkyard worth of junk in the of additional junk in the trunk. And it's just like, damn. How victimized does one have to be in order to do that? I mean, any insights, Tracy? I realize I'm on shifting sand as a guy even talking about this, but...
me too.
I don't even find it attractive, this pneumatic enhancement of... Yeah.
Body parts, we'll just say.
Well, I mean, human beings ain't made that way.
Right. Right.
I mean, we all have various... We are all variations on a basic form.
Yeah.
You know, a bipedal, upright primate.
Yeah.
Are you insinuating that they're airbags?
You got to wonder. I mean, I don't know how you get there without it. You know, you leave the little valve stem sticking out, and then
you know the weirdest freaking thing I've seen, Bob, as far as like if you want to call it cosmetic surgery, there was this lady who had 6 of her ribs removed so she could have like a really, really thin waist, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that, like, how is that helping?
18 inches or whatever.
Like Vampyra?
Janet Jackson did that to have a smaller waist. Have
who?
Janet Jackson. There's this rumor.
Oh, she did that?
True. It's a rumor, like I said.
It looks so freaky.
It's just the extremes that people go through.
It's like an hourglass figure. Why do you want to look like an hourglass? It's like,
because that's the standard of beauty.
Why do you want a 12-inch waist? Jeez.
Yeah, that's a little extreme, though. I mean, 6 ribs, getting rid of 6 ribs. You only have, how many in your body? Like 13, 14? What is it, 12?
Well, and then there's those vestigial sort of floating ribs down at the bottom. But the thing is, they serve an evolutionary purpose. They keep shit in the right place.
Right. You know, I'd rather have my lungs and my heart protected.
Yeah. That's kind of helpful. Know?
It's kind of helpful.
And your guts as well.
You know, thank you. If we slightly moved into the caddy portion of the program.
And I think we have.
Okay, so I have my dosage of white people gone wild. Now, I have a question.
Would that be white people?
White people gone wild. Now, I heard about this a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, because I have a DVR and I tape a lot of the stuff that I watch. And, you know, and of course I can fast forward through the commercials. And you know how... later in the evening, they show clips from whatever's going to be on the news that evening. But, I was half sleeping and didn't pay attention. I just saw blindfolded people. But I didn't realize what they were talking about because I hadn't seen the Bird Box. So I guess the latest thing now that white people are doing is doing the Bird Box challenge.
Putting on blindfolds and walking into things?
Driving into things with a car.
Driving into things, Bob.
Driving.
Okay, so there's a movie on Netflix with Sandra Bullock called The Bird Box. And in order for you to survive whatever is afflicting people, you have to blindfold yourself.
Yeah.
Because whatever's affecting people is making them commit suicide. So you have
or
to blindfold
yourself
or kill other people. So what you have to do is blindfold yourself so what happens is when they first realize what they have to do, they black out the windows of the car and they go blind and they blindfold each other. But the thing is, they're using the GPS and, you know, how these newer cars have the sensors around them. So it'll beep if you're about to run over something or hit something or whatever.
And in some cases, even apply the brakes.
And apply the brakes, exactly. Well, they are now, so this is how these, you know, people are getting around.
you know, in the movie. Well, apparently, there's these people who decided, well, I'm just going to go ahead and try this in real life.
What could go wrong?
And I searched. I said, let me make sure before I say, okay, white people gone wild. And in all the videos that I didn't see anybody black. I just want to say.
Well, you remember what David in South Carolina, Stan, was saying on last night's program about people in South Carolina driving into stopped police cars with flashing lights?
Was it oak trees as well?
And the oak trees, are fucking winning.
I have to ask you I have to ask my wife, my white brothers up in the room, they're on this call. Why?
We're here, man.
It's like, is it a genetic defect?
it's called maggots, Tracy.
But I can't believe all of them are maggots.
Maggots.
But I can't. You can't blame all this on maggots, because white people have been doing stupid shit long before Trump was in office. Because remember,
And before that, they were teabaggers, and before that, they were just Republicans.
Right, right. But when I saw this shit, there was a 16-year-old that actually drove it. I don't think anybody's been killed yet.
I mean, just time out for a second. Remember, it was a white person who made a country hit out of Jesus Take the Wheel.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying that people actually did that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
The Jesus Take the Wheel Challenge, huh?
Wait a minute, seriously?
Hey, that sounds like a fundraising challenge, Bob.
That sounds like a fundraising challenge. Jesus.
Bob, I want to interject something real quick.
All I can say, Tracy, is you better be glad that there's a significant community of color in Southern California, whether it be black folks, Asian folks, Hispanic folks, South Carolina, white folks, stationary police cars with the lights on, white folks, oak trees.
Bob, I want to interject something totally off topic real quick. Just a quick message from Karen to Tracy. If she's listening to this program, Tracy, Karen said that when you go to your doctors, ask him for a rescue inhaler. And she said that will help you tremendously. Even though you don't have asthma, it will help you get rid of that irritation you got going on.
Okay. Have either of y'all made the recipe yet?
I was going to ask you to post it again because I couldn't find it, so
yes.
I want you to post it.
Yeah,
or
she said
it to me or whatever.
I'll send it.
Thank you for that. I just could not find the cinnamon sticks is the only thing. But other than that, I've got it.
In the spice aisle, you couldn't find stick cinnamon?
No, maybe I didn't look hard enough, but I don't have any in my spice
Well, it's not
cabinet,
critical. So. The clove is far more important anyway.
Yeah,
the clove.
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy, you got a fan here on the feed. He wants to know if you ever tried your hand at comedy.
Actually, I did for a minute. I did stand up for about a year, doing open mics and stuff.
Okay.
And I have fun doing it, but it is so good. I mean, you have to be on all the time, and comics are miserable fucking people.
That's true.
they are not nice people, and I just couldn't stand being around them.
They have issues. They really do.
I mean, and that's where most of their, 99.9% of their comedy comes from, pain and anguish. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's where my comedy came from.
Right.
But I, every so often, I think, like I was watching that Wanda Sykes stand up, Bob, where she talks about being waxed.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And see, I didn't realize it was an HBO special.
That's a scream, man.
Oh my God. I had never seen the visuals, because the only thing I had ever heard was the audio. So I didn't realize there was an HBO special, and I watched it the other day. So I watched the whole, the whole stand up. But when she gets to that part, when she's talking about when she gets waxed, and it was like, she said that she that her that the waxing was like her asshole got ripped off, and that her asshole was running across the floor.
Yeah, independently.
Independent of her body, and she's screaming, "Run, asshole, run!" Oh my God! Because I sent you that, didn't I, Bob?
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got to live. I mean, all of this, you know, the vast majority of great comedy has its grounds in tragedy. I mean, that's why when they asked John, you know, the great actor John Barrymore, how he was able to do those stirring death scenes that he was famous for, he said, "Dying's easy, comedy is hard."
Right.
And it absolutely is. Hey, let me interject just for a minute, because remember, we're doing a shortened program this evening. We got $408 to go to finish the week, and about 19 minutes to get there in. Thank you, Rick. Your challenge was met, and thanks to everybody who jumped in on it all so far. So that was a big help. But we need to take a bite out of that, because the idea of a $608 hole come Monday, it makes my liver quiver.
That's not
pointed at you, Tracy. Now, dadgum.
I know, no, because when Steve said about it sounded like a challenge, so I'm going to do the Jesus take the wheel.
There you go.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel. Bird box challenge. How does that sound?
Jesus, take the wheel. Bird box challenge.
Jesus, take the wheel. Bird box. You better take the wheel, because the white people ain't doing very good at it. So challenge.
White people.
And by the way, because I'm new to this, but I only recently found out the spelling of that. W-Y-P-I-P-O.
P-O.
White people.
White people. It's, when you wrote that the other day, it brought a tear to my heart leapt a little bit. I'm like, he gets me. He so gets me. Because it just sounds good, you know, because, you know, you can say white people, but when you say white people, it just sends it home. So white the people. Challenge is for 30.
Okay. So there's a $30 Jesus take the wheel bird box challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, it hurts us. It hurts us.
It hurts us. It hurts. It hurts us. It hurts us. As I'm watching, when I came home, I'm still trying to figure out how this happened, but on the channel, Rick, on the Channel 7 News, why was there a horse stuck in a dumpster?
What? I didn't see that.
It was just on a little while ago.
Must have had to do with something to do with the 7 inches of rain we just got this past week.
I don't know because
I don't know either.
They got the because it's still going. How did the horse get into the dumpster? I mean, they had this whole contraption with a forklift. They strapped horse up and.
Tracy, that's like an Only in Los Angeles story. It's like, okay, how did like a house get like thrown onto the freeway or whatever, you know, or how did a living room set get on the freeway? I mean, all shit like that happens all the time in Southern Cal, you know?
All the time. But I'm like a horse stuck in.
That is weird.
Cool, the cool rescue. I mean, they got them out. They strapped them. They did a forklift and put stuff on the forklift and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, it was ingenious. The horse isn't happy about it.
I just posted a link in the chat in the Skype room if anybody wants to dig
for it. I got to look at that.
Well, hey, on a more serious note, there's
a... than a horse trapped in a dumpster, Bob.
Well.
Poor horse.
Was it head down or... Well, never mind.
No, stop telling us, Bob, how to get horses out of dumpsters, okay?
He was standing straight up. He was standing up on all fours.
Stop telling us horses in dumpsters aren't serious, Bob. No, justice. Do you remember the name Laquan McDonald? 2014 in Chicago. He was blown away. Well, former Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke, who was convicted of that killing, a cop was actually convicted. Cook County Circuit Judge Vincent Gahan sentenced Jason Van Dyke today to 81 months in prison. And he went on to say that he would have to serve at least 2 years in the stir before he would even be eligible for parole. 7 years for manslaughter for killing a black teenager. It should have been life without parole, in my opinion. But
and it should have been murder.
And it should have been murder. But this is something.
It's the first. It's the first.
It's second. Second. No, it's not manslaughter. It's second degree murder.
Oh, second degree. I thought it was I thought you said manslaughter.
I did, but I was mistaken. Okay. Another judge gave a pass to three cops who were charged with conspiring to cover for him. Laquan McDonald was 17 years old when Van Dyke blew him away. But here's the thing. It is the first time, that an on-duty Chicago cop has been found criminally liable for killing an African-American human being. The first time. He could have gotten 20 years. The judge gave him 7.
But at least he gave him something. I mean,
I guess it's the principle of the thing. There's more justice in that than in taking a walk, like the woman in Tulsa did.
Right. Speaking of police, was off duty. What's happened? We have about the off duty cop that shot the young man in Texas in his apartment because you know she was just. She got his apartment mixed up with hers, even though he lives upstairs and blah, 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 blah. Any word of what's happening with that?
I haven't seen anything lately, no.
Neither have I.
I thought she got charged.
Did she get charged?
Yeah, I remember her getting charged.
Hey, John.
Hello, Bob.
How in the heck are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry I'm late. We're still shuttling things around because of the kamikaze deer and... So,
kamikaze deer.
Uncle John, nice to hear from you, brother.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be here. I see the whole crowd's here. Tracy's here. Rick's here. Hell, everybody's here.
Yeah, we got a great group tonight.
Good. Well, hell, I done missed all the fun in, I guess.
Hey, welcome, John.
Thank you. I'm doing pretty good, Rick.
Cool.
Hanging in there, buddy. That's all you can do. Tie a knot, you know?
Yeah, I tried to bring you into the call here.
Yeah, I seen the first try, but I was just walking out the door to go pick up my son's girlfriend from her job and bring her home. She's the one that hit the deer, and her car is now in the shop, so I'll be taxicabbing here for a few days.
Okay.
So back and forth in the morning, and then, but that's what you do until her car gets fixed, so.
I'm dealing with the new Skype now, so... If anybody's out there trying to contact me, I don't know how I get a hold of you. I can't see my contact list.
Oh, shit. There was somebody I just spoke to the other day. I was going to recommend, you know, him come join us here. Joe Riddle, you ever heard him?
I think we're friends on Facebook now.
There you go. Joe does a good job on Facebook. He runs the New News. It's a page there, and he does his best to raise his voice, too. And that's what this is all about, baby. Everybody talking, keeping the message going.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't have access to the multimillionaire for-profit media. But everybody, again, like I said earlier, rivers are made of individual raindrops.
Yes, sir, baby. That ocean's a lot of drops.
And
that's
so
what we are.
If we're all just our own happy little raindrops, we can help create a tide, a tsunami that overwhelms the septuagenarian orange man baby in the White House.
He did a whole lot today to help us along in that respect.
Well, yes, he did. I mean,
But the fight starts now. I mean, it's just
this is what we talked about. You know, the midterms was the halftime show. Yep. You
know, we we've got to get the Senate. Absolutely, have to get the Senate.
And that's where this comes in. These investigations. Yep. I said today on my show that this deal with Cohen talking about Donnie telling him to lie to the Senate. Again, that's just like campaign finance deal that he's got going. Now this one with the obstruction of justice, tuck it in the vest pocket, baby. We got it. That's impeachment. Those are
brick
impeachment
by brick.
That's
brick
right.
By brick. He's
put
he's
it in
building
your
his
pocket.
Own wall around.
Oh
him.
Yeah.
That's right.
The House the House has to impeach. I mean, I don't see more
the House
of how
can
they cannot.
But impeachment's like Bob's
right. Well, I know
like a slap on the wrist. But we got to convince the Republicans in the Senate that he's a scum sucking traitor.
My point, Uncle John, is they have to now after what broke last night. They really don't have a choice. I really didn't personally. I didn't want him to do it because I thought it would rally his base. But I don't think there's a choice
it
now.
It still will.
The question is timing. I'm of the belief that we got to take more time. Let the investigation come out. Let Mueller release his report, and then let the Congress do the investigation. Drag this out as long as you can.
Absolutely, Rick. Great minds, brother.
Make the poll numbers go as low as possible.
I was just thinking that.
To the point where the Republicans have to get rid of him.
Yeah, they'll have no choice. You know? Like we talked, they have to be elected.
Stretch it out until 2020 if necessary. I mean,
of course.
Let's remember something. Even if he was impeached and removed from office impeached by the House and removed from office by the Senate, that does not mean that it's all over with and he is no longer liable for criminal conduct. The minute he exits the White House, as long as we don't get somebody who says, we are going to look forward and not back,
we got to heal the country. I remember that Ford nonsense.
Somebody's going to explain to him at some point, your ass is going to jail unless you resign and strike a deal with Pence.
Uh-huh, right.
And Pelosi.
It better be a damn good deal. It better be a damn good deal. Because we haven't even begun to see the money laundering and the dirty deals that he's involved in, that we all know he's involved in.
No, and there's a couple of interesting deals.
John, Bob, wouldn't you say Pence is up to his eyeballs in this shit, too?
That's part of why he turned on the crocodile tears when the news story broke about Mother going to work teaching art at a Christian school that hates the LGBTQ community. We are deeply offended that we are being attacked for our religious faith. Fuck you, pencil neck geek.
I wanted to mention this. I was struck. Trump was being interviewed. It was a one-on-one interview by somebody. And that man has aged like crazy. His face he looked old, you know? He's really aged.
What happens
in
when
that
you
office.
Snort too much Adderall?
What's that?
I said, when you snort too much Adderall, you
that
know.
Shit well, will, that shit Adderall. Will make you
that.
Old.
He's doing it with Trump. Maybe that's the problem. Like maybe Trump's a bad influence on him that way.
It's like what my aunt used to say. I had two aunts, my dad's sisters. And one of my aunt Shirley was I think she gave Donald Trump lessons on how to lie. That's just what a prolific liar. And my aunt Sandra used to say about Shirley, the reason why my aunt Shirley was so skinny is because she was always running around town trying to keep up with her lies.
That'll wear you out, baby.
Remember that old adage from the 60s and 70s that I've mentioned several times here, peed skills.
Yeah, peed skills.
A couple of details here on the way out the door. And by the way, Robert has answered $5 of your challenge. Tracy, thank you very kindly for making it, and thank you, Robert, for responding. Darlene in Connecticut sent this along a little bit ago. The law enforcement officials that leaked the story that Trump ordered Cohen to perjure himself before Congress, and who Kellyanne is upset about, could those be agents from the New York FBI office or New York police working with the Southern District New York Prosecutor's Office? Could this even be a timed leak with the blessing of the special counsel's office? The timing is interesting considering the Barr confirmation hearings and Dems taking control of the House. It's very interesting, especially because the Democrats in the Senate knew to ask specifically of Barr about the question of a president who suborns perjury. And that's what lies at the heart of this. Now, one more wrinkle. When they reached out to Mueller's office for comment on the BuzzFeed story, they offered this statement. Mueller's spokesman is a guy named Peter Carr. And you get the idea that they're very careful with their language. And Peter Carr said, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony is not accurate. That is a real drill down as far as what's not accurate, because you can now take the statement from Mueller's office here and lay it next to the BuzzFeed article and actually find out the parts that the Mueller investigation, Mueller's office, sort of tacitly agree is accurate. What they're saying, they didn't say, well, the report's not accurate. They said specific statements to the special counsel's office, characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office is not accurate.
I'm surprised they said anything, Bob, because they've been so mum about stuff.
Yeah.
The fact they responded to the request for a statement says a lot. Just that fact alone.
I think it validates a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, baby, this is going to turn into such a shit show. It's a circus, and we're all going
to
be
right.
Laughing
look at that statement, and now go back to what Darlene asked. Could it be somebody from the SDNY? Testimony obtained by this office. That excludes testimony obtained by the Southern District of New York.
There you go.
I'm loving it, baby. I got a show every day, every day. Got a show.
I think we're all just going to sit around and wait for the sound of the other dropping shoe. I love this latest that's come out. Donnie Deutsch was on MSNBC with Chris Matthews earlier. And at one point, according to Cohen, speaking to Deutsch, Trump said, this is going to be when they started the campaign. Julius Geezer said, this is going to be the biggest infomercial we ever did. So he went into it with the idea of using it as a means of further enriching himself.
Well, not unlike Herman Cain and Ben Carson and all the other failed GOP candidates when they were running for president, either in 2012 or 2016. It's become like a cottage industry.
Yeah,
to,
but I think
Donnie, sell a book
Donnie's,
or
Donnie
money.
Stepped it up a notch. Donnie took it up a level.
Yeah, well, he was trying to build the Trump Tower.
yeah, he was going for the big chips.
He wanted a tower in Moscow, going back to the 80s, like the late 80s when Gorbachev was still in power. You know, so.
Well, I just know knowing Russian intelligence the way we do. That when he was over there with the Miss America pageant, whatever the hell he did in that city, whatever, you can bet your ass it was recorded and documented. And, you know, the Russians have something over on his ass, and he knows it. I don't know if it's the PP tape or what.
I think the PP tape.
Moral activity going on somewhere.
The PP tape is just a cherry on top of an entirely corrupt sundae.
Yeah, that's just the cherry. That's right. Just the, oh, are you shitting me? Going to put that on top, too?
A chair on top of a shit-filled sundae. Yep. Sorry, guys. I just ruined somebody's dinner there in the region or what?
Yeah, mountain.
You can listen to this stuff. Zone. You're used to it. You're used to a shit sandwich every day with this guy.
And it even goes so far as it's very likely that in negotiating for the Trump Tower financing, of course, he had to have rubles. He had to have Russian backing. And the two banks he would have been dealing with were sanctioned banks under sanctions imposed under the Obama administration. So now it becomes apparent why maybe those sanctions needed to go bye-bye.
Yeah. Every rock you look under, baby.
He is as corrupt as one human being can be.
That's why I say this little thing here with Cohen and the obstruction of justice took it in the pocket. It's just another small token of what's fixing to come.
Do we have time to talk about Donnie's treason, like real quick, Bob?
Oh yeah, we can take a couple of minutes. I got to get out of here, but
go
ahead and just Tracy's challenge still on the table, so hopefully that'll finish off and then we'll be done.
Yeah. There's some talk that by Donnie being a Russian agent, he has committed treason, and that may not as defined in what Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, and it may not quite be that. It may be that he's adhered to enemies of the United States. He's basically provided material aid and comfort to enemies of the United States by cultivating the Russians, actively cultivating them, and giving them stuff in exchange for their support in the campaign.
Sounds like treason to me, buddy.
Well, treason usually you need a declared war.
That's true, but aren't we at war?
Well, I think when a country attacks you on a cyber level, yeah, you are kind of at war, but the government itself wasn't attacked by the Russian cyber criminals. Private parties were, basically Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Podesta. But I think that probably is sufficient under the Constitution. You're basically adhering to an enemy. I mean, if assuming that another country who attacks your cybersecurity is an enemy, then I think that is, clearly, an impeachable offense, and he should be removed from office just for that.
Right. Well, like I say, we have an impeachment in the pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to convince the removal is what we need to work on.
Yeah. The thing is, if you're going to go after the king, you got to cut his head off. You can't leave him. You can't just chop an arm or two off,
And that's where we're fucked. Mitch will never do it.
Mitch may be forced to.
You're going to have to force him. You're going to have to. And that's where all the rest of this shit comes in.
Well, They damn near voted unanimously to open the government. And the very same bill Mitch will not allow to even be considered. Remember, if you've got a unanimous vote in the Senate, that's a veto-proof majority.
That's a veto-proof, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, I don't think there's
Mitch
a veto.
Mitch by himself. Mitch the bitch is the one that's holding it up.
Right.
Well, he's holding this government shutdown pinned down. We may have been out of the woods on this shit by now, but for Mitch. He's an evil fucker, man. He really is.
He is. And, remember his book, The Long Game. That's his book. He don't give a fuck. He's like Donnie. He don't give a shit as long as they get to Paul Ryan's out.
As long as the check clears.
That's right.
Their checks are clearing, Bob.
They'll call.
Their checks are clearing, but how about all of our friends that work for the government? And a lot of them are in the Horn family.
Wait a minute, Bob, you got a violin here?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, hang on. Let me dredge up the violin real quick.
There you go. Because that's what Donnie's thinking. He don't give a shit. Put the violin music up in there. Oh, I'm starving. I can't pay my bills. Well, that's just too bad.
Well, they're mostly Democrats. He doesn't give a shit about the government workers.
He believes.
Fuck them.
What pissed me off is he went into the freaking Pentagon and started that Democrat shit, evil Democrats, my wall and all this. Ugh. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Turd shit.
Well, the best part of that, though, was that the people in the Pentagon sat on their hands.
Exactly as they should. And a lot of them people, I got news, as a veteran myself, there's a lot of Democrats in the military. Yeah.
And these are good people, Uncle John. They work their ass off.
Yes,
and they're still working now without a paycheck. That of it in itself reflects on their character. And for them not to be paid we all need to stick together. I don't know how we can do it, but we all need to stick together and help these folks out.
Isn't the Women's March?
It is tomorrow. Right? It's been roiled by a lot of controversy, and I don't know how much of that is manufactured, but yeah, all over the country tomorrow.
Please don't drink drugs or what? Yeah, drop them off at the security.
Hey, I saw this sign at the airport. I'm trying to hold it up. It basically says TSA off duty, airport security honor system in effect. Please do not bring aboard any drugs, weapons, or water bottles. Thanks, with a smiley face and an eye wink.
Hell, that'll work. No self-respecting terrorist would dare get on the plane now. It's the honor system. Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's like,
misplaced our honor.
You know, my concern is this whole vanity thing that Trump has about building the goddamn wall is going to cost people. It's going to cost them their rents. They're going to get evicted. But a plane's going to go down, and it's going to be because, let's say, not enough air traffic controllers showed up because they can't afford the gas to get to work.
Well, the shutdown has already cost more than his goddamn wall is supposed to cost.
I believe it.
That's proven.
Yeah.
Look it up.
It's done more damage to our national dignity than anything has. This is just damn well.
Well, and based on what we saw earlier on his Twitter feed, he's desperately trying to turn the attention of the news cycle away from the BuzzFeed news story. Because tune in tomorrow at 3:00. I'll have a big announcement about the shutdown and about the
Unless
wall.
Unless he whips out a knife and cuts his pecker off, I don't really give a shit what he does.
But in terms of
maybe he's going to do a strip tease from the White House, the Oval Office, guys.
Rip his clothes off. Look, when that happens, I want everybody to blow up social media saying Bob predicted this. Okay, just do that
Bob
for me.
Bob said it was going to happen.
There are too many good people being hurt by this, and we have to foolproof this shit so this does not happen again.
And he's also tweeting about there's another caravan forming, and there are Muslim prayer rugs in the desert.
Oh, God.
But what's most interesting is Wall isn't polling worth a fuck, so he's taken to referring to the humanitarian crisis at the border, which is entirely of his making, and thousands more children were kidnapped and put in concentration camps than they admitted. So, yeah, we're back to that. Anyway, we got to wrap up. It's going to be hopefully Tracy's Tracy's challenge has been met. Thank you very kindly, Libby.
All right.
Between Libby and Robert, they met Tracy's challenge. Tracy's Jesus Take the Wheel Bird Box Challenge. thank you, Tracy. Thank you for your challenge earlier, Rick. Thanks to everybody who responded. When we get back on Monday, we will be looking at, let me see here. We'll be looking at a $538 fundraising goal come Monday, unless things change over the weekend. So,
no small price to pay for such fine entertainment. I'm telling the people right now.
John Bredevo, you are too kind.
You cannot get this kind of entertainment on the airwaves. You're going to have to get your computer out, get out your social media thing, and get involved in the conversation. But it doesn't come cheap, and Bob's got to stay on the air. So from this blue dot in Texas, if y'all donate $1, $5, whatever you can do, it is greatly appreciated by not only Bob, but the rest of the community out here to keep the airwaves on.
Indeed.
So we really appreciate that. This program is more fun than pool tournaments.
That's right.
At least,
Rick wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Rick would not be here. Rick would be out playing pool. But we're glad to
appreciate it. Well, thank you both. Those are mighty kind words. Steve from Georgia Stan, thank you again for your help. Thanks to everybody. And listen, if you're in one of the parts of the country where it's going to get ultra, super, double plus nasty this weekend, please, please take care to make sure that you stay warm. Because there are places that are going to hit with killing cold. This is one of those places. If there's a chance of the power going out, find something, make sure you've got some other means of alternative heat, tend to your pipes, put some sort of, open the cabinet drawers and put some sort of heat in front of that. Let the faucets drip. And please take care of yourselves, because this shit is dangerous. I mean, it is truly, truly dangerous. Come Sunday night, you know, we're okay. You know, if it gets down to 20, we're all right. When it's around here, this 80-plus-year-old house, when it gets down below 20, I've said before, it's like suddenly we don't have walls. And I mean, Agnes and I will be probably sleeping in our puffy coats and you know, they make sleeping bags so that you can sort of stay in the sleeping bag and unzip it a little bit so you can walk around. Yeah, like that.
So, hey, Bob.
Everybody take care of yourself. Yeah, John.
I've seen them, that outfit you put on Facebook there, buddy.
Was that high style or what?
I'd be a little hanging my head, too. One of these days, I'll put my suit out there where I look like a green bean.
Oh, this I want to see.
Totally green, totally shirt.
Pants, see, the real jacket. Tragedy of that was that I put it back on the rack. I couldn't talk myself into it.
Oh, Bob, you disappointed me. That was you, Bob. You should have gone with that.
It was me. It was. There's no getting around it. But daggummit, you know, we're in the dead of winter, and it's, you know, it's kerosene and propane season. And besides, the jacket was a little snug across the shoulders. But damn it, it came with its own matching necktie.
Oh man, I've seen that. It was a good outfit, Bob.
If a fella could have found a hot pink dress shirt to go with it, whew, would have been right damn
be down
there.
In Kokomo, buddy. You'd be down in Kokomo. Ain't this horn family beautiful? Bob, take care of yourself, buddy.
All right, you too, John Bredevoe. You take care, and everybody else as well. Hey, listen, in about 45 minutes or so, gather around the Malloy campfire over at Progressive Voices. There won't be any video, of course, this evening. I can't do the video thing. You don't want me to do the video thing. And gather around the Malloy campfire at Progressive Voices, and I'll be filling in this Friday evening for Mike and Kathy as they've gone out this evening to celebrate Kathy's birthday. I think it's her 23rd. And 29th. Okay. We'll have lots more to talk about, not just what we talked about this evening. So thanks to everybody who keeps this program on the air. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers. Thank you to all of you who kick in during the month in real time. Thank you to the overnight crew. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little ongoing conversation, this decades-long conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky for once again moderating the Extraordinary Ordinary Friday on the Front Porch Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. He's going to get right on things to figure out what the heck's wrong with the White Rose stream. Thank you very kindly to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.